You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented, of course, as always, by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, classic journeyman. You guys know the deal. And I love that I played for a while because it enabled me to get the cool media gigs with like the Eagles and Westwood One and CBS and Odyssey and whatever, and have this entire podcast network, including this podcast, which you should tell everybody you know about. I've got the next big star in the pre-draft community, and I've had him for a couple years. Just remember this. Just remember I told you this, okay? When Emery's doing NFL Network or ESPN and not talking to me anymore, just remember that I found him first. Of course, I'm talking about the great Emery Hunt at F-Ball Game Plan on Twitter, Football Game Plan on YouTube, footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. Look, it is March 25th. The draft is exactly a month away. There has never, I repeat, ever been a better time to buy the draft guide than right now. footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. I don't do this often. It's maybe the third time I've done it. The sponsor confirmation email winner on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast this week, it's going to be somebody that signs up and gets the draft guide. Somebody that gets the draft guide this week and emails it to me, ross@rostucker.com, the receipt after you pay for it. Just forward that ross@rostucker.com. I'm picking one of you to get one of these awesome press passes, signed press pass from the season. Can't wait to do it. Speaking of Emery, we got to be getting close, man. How far away are we?
We're getting close, man. We're looking like an April 2nd release date for the draft guide. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. We should be done grading this week, and then we'll finalize like the formatting of the guide, and then it'll be in the folks' inboxes April 2nd. I can't wait.
I love it. As a reminder, if you really love this stuff, right, then there's a couple things about Emery that you really enjoy. DGAF. Emery doesn't care what other people say. Emery didn't get into this business to care about what other people say. He does the work. He does the evaluation. He writes it up. He puts it out there. Some of them are wrong. A lot of them are right. But maybe even more importantly, he's got, I would guess, a couple hundred evaluations in there that no other draft guide will ever have. Think about that. A couple hundred guys that your team could sign or try out guys, or if you're into spring football, they'll be playing there at some point. Emery has them. The other people do not. Get the draft guide, footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. Enough said. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on social. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. Love those of you that rate and review the show. It makes a big difference. More people see it. And those of you that engage in social media in any way, it's awesome. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the tight ends. We're going to talk about the fullbacks. And I had an article that came out on the 33rd team over the weekend that actually reminded me of Emery that we're going to talk about at the end, which I think you're really going to enjoy. But let's start with the tight ends. As usual, Emery, and this is good because there aren't just one type of tight end, right? Like, that's for darn sure. I mean, there's guys that are like 6'7", 270, and then there's guys like Brock Bowers. Like, they are not the same guy. So break down, Emery, how you sort of see the tight end group from a position standpoint.
Appreciate that, Ross. And it's always starting up front with the inline tight end. That's the guys that we like to say are the athletic offensive tackles, right? Tackles that they get to go out on a pass pattern every now and then. But these are the guys that can block in addition to what they do as a receiver. So those are your inline guys, your classic tight ends. Your H-backs are more of your move guys, guys that can play a little bit of inline. They can also get out there and block on the move. They're good athletes. They're very good receivers. You maybe see some line up in the fullback position. These are guys that can do a little bit of everything. They even can carry the football in terms of, you know, turning around and handing the ball off to these guys. Your flex receivers are more of your bigger wide receivers that play tight end. So these are guys that are more like your Jimmy Grahams as opposed to your, let's say, Tony Gonzalez's or Jason Witten's, to use those two prototypes. So that's where we are. It's three different positions, which is why I love grading like this, because it gives people a clearer idea of not only the prospect, but where I feel like their best fit will be as a pro.
I love it. Let's start with the inline guys, which, by the way, there's, you know, these guys don't get drafted that high, but there's every team seemingly has one guy whose main job is a blocker. So if you're keeping three tight ends, at least one guy is usually an inline guy. You know, Josh Oliver got a lot of money. Sometimes if you're keeping four, two of them are inline guys. Tell me who we got on your inline rank, your inline tight end, the top three guys, Emery.
Top three guys, we got Brevin Spanford of Minnesota, who's 6'6", 267. Big fan of his game because he moves like he's 195 pounds. So he has very good athleticism. He can catch the football away from his body rather well. He's good actively on the move as a perimeter blocker. So I love all of the aspects. And you're going to get that when you're coming from Minnesota. So he's my number one inline guy. Number two, Isaac Rex of BYU. Big fan of what he brings to the table. One of his biggest strengths to me is that he's a good all-around football player that can play all three tight end spots. So you get a little bit of versatility with Mr. Rex coming from BYU. And Dylan Leonard, who I saw at the Hula Bowl and the College Gridiron Showcase out of Georgia Tech, 6'4", 241. He may fit the mold build-wise of a flex guy or an H-back, but I love his ability, athleticism, his fluidity in line. He's a great blocker, but also a very good receiver. Underrated. Only had 387 yards receiving at Georgia Tech. But this is someone who has that upside. Again, watched him at two different All-Star games this past January, and he performed well. Started at the Gridiron Showcase, got the call up to the Hula Bowl, and performed well there.
It's interesting. We'll get to it in a second, just in terms of, like, the value of tight ends. And maybe we'll even do it now, Emery, because there's been, you know, I keep seeing this, and I'm going to let you talk about him first, and then I'll ask you about him. Let's get to the H-backs, including, you know, the biggest name of any of the tight ends this year.
Yeah, Brock Bowers, to me, is a Travis Kelce clone. That's who he compares to me. I know Kelce was a bigger player, but Brock Bowers and what we see Kelce has become in the NFL is just that. So he is someone that can win short, win intermediate, going deep down the field. He's a great all-around football player. That's one thing that I really love about his game. Great hands. He can separate. I don't care what he tests or what he looks like out of equipment. All I know is based off the film, this dude is a fantastic tight end. And to be honestly, just to throw a little curveball in there, it wouldn't surprise me to see someone, and he would be the perfect guy to do it, wouldn't surprise me to see Jim Harbaugh take him at five, because that's what Jim Harbaugh does. It's about the point of attack play. I know the Chargers need some receivers. Why not get a guy that can help you with both? Because he can block and also he can catch. So Brock Bowers is my number one H-back.
All right. While we're on that, I want to discuss something with you. I've seen a lot of mock drafts where Bowers doesn't go in the top 10. I've heard a lot of conversation about positional value. I have my opinion, but before I interject my opinion, you might have hinted at it already a little bit, Emery, based on talking about him maybe going to the Chargers at five. But your thoughts on, you know, tight end position not having as much value and teams passing on a guy like Bowers in the top 10 as a result?
Ross, if I'm running a football team, I am trying to win on the field. I am not trying to win on the spreadsheets or on, you know, the accounting board, because all of that will take care of itself. If we're out there with the best football players and the best football team, everything else will fall in line. So spreadsheets be damned, accounting be damned, positional value be damned. No one cares when it's week 9 and Brock Bowers is out there with 4 receptions for 130 yards and 5 touchdowns. And you're like, man, I wish we had him on our team. Yeah, but we could have taken a different position in the top 5 as opposed to this tight end. We didn't get good value at the pick. Damn that. Give me the best football players and let everything else work itself out, because we've seen in the offseason how many teams will pay for what they want. So it doesn't really matter about positional value. If this guy can help your team win, you draft him, you take him, you sign him, you put him out there on the field, and he's helping your team win.
Did Brock Bowers get a couple carries in that game too? It's really impressive. Like, 5 touchdowns on 4 catches is
That's
super
how good
impressive.
He is, Ross.
You know, it's funny. So just so the people know, right, the logic – like, if you look at – the best way to do it is look at the franchise tag number for each position. Tight ends like $12 million, running backs like $11 million. And the thought process is, well, if you take a tight end in the top 10 or top 5, they're already making $8 or $9 million a year. So it's like you're paying them like they're one of the better tight ends or running backs or whatever, whereas – if you know, take a left tackle and their franchise tag number is $21 million, or you take a corner and their franchise tag is 21, whatever it is, right? You're getting more value for the pick. And I guess I would say, Emery, if everything else is equal, I think that I'm okay with that being a consideration. Like, if you have the exact same grade and you have the exact same need on your team, like you need a corner, you need a tight end, you think they're both top 5 guys, and you go with the corner, okay. But like, to in any way take a lesser player doesn't really make that much sense to me. And what good does positional value mean if the guy you take isn't good at football?
Thank you. That's exactly the point, Ross. And that's how I feel like a lot of people, especially online, lose sight of that. When you're out there in the middle of a season, no one cares where a guy was taken in the draft if he doesn't play, if he's not good. It doesn't matter. We just saw a dude taken in the 5th round outperform first round wide receivers in Puka Nacua. You think, you know, Les Snead cares where they took him or whether or not? No, they just got a good football player. If they had a chance to take him in round 1, they would have. So my thing is, you are going to get fired anyway at some point in time. So why not go down with how you want to build your team? It's your team. It's no different than playing at the playground, pick up basketball or pick up football. You pick the guys that you think can help you win. I'm not going to wait. If we're playing pick up basketball, I'm not going to wait to get, you know, the guy that, you know, he's a point guard. He handles the ball every possession. I'm going to take him first. No, I'm going to get the tallest MF out there, because I know we need rebounds, and rebounds give us more shots on the goal. So let's get the tallest dude out there that can help us win right now.
Speaking, by the way, of the draft, I am a huge fan of the Game Time app for so many reasons. But listen, draft coming means the schedule will be here before you know it, which is awesome. Do you know that the Game Time app has last-minute deals where you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, etc. I love stand-up comedy. I love concerts. It's almost concert season in my mind when you get to spring, summer. Plus, you got the NCAA tournament, March Madness. You can look at the Sweet 16 games if they're near you. And I bet you can get a really good deal with the flash deals, the zone deals. I love that they actually have the all-in pricing. And the coolest part, get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code DRAFT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply, so again, create an account and redeem code DRAFT for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. If you can't go to the game, watch it on TV and drink some Labatt Blue Lights with me or your friends or your family. Live life to the power of we. Best light beer of all time. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. All right, Emery, I've actually heard of your other two H-backs. Let's get to them.
Yeah, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. You talk about someone that could do it all. He could play all three spots. He's one of these guys that can also carry the football as a ball carrier, as a running back. So you feel confident that he could play all four spots within the backfield, within the line of scrimmage. So terrific athlete, can block well on the move. So he's, again, a Kansas State football player is like a Utah defender. It's sight unseen. So give me him because he's always where he needs to be blocking, but is a fantastic option as a receiver. And Trey Knox of South Carolina, love his speed, love his explosiveness. I feel like people are sleeping on him. He has underrated skill as a blocker, very good point of attack player. I know he was at Arkansas, big wide receiver, but this is someone that I think has that receiving skill set that you look for out there. And tied with him, just to get him in there, Jaheim Bell out of Florida State, same type of player as Trey Knox, outstanding H-backs, as both guys are explosive and good with the ball in their hands.
All right. Now I'm interested in the flex tight ends, especially because I know a lot more about your number two and number three guys, Emery, than I do your number one guy.
Yeah, Jared Wiley out of TCU is a big dude, 6'6", 253. And when you think about that size, you're thinking inline, but no, this dude is super fluid, super athletic, can win one-on-one versus safeties in some big corners, has above-average hands. The hand-eye coordination is where it needs to be. And he is someone that definitely can play above the rim. So you can flex him out wide and still be good in terms of running the football his way because he has the size to block well on the perimeter, but also he's a threat as a receiver. So to me, he can make any type of catch on the field, and that athleticism is why he's my number one.
Number two, the guy we are going to talk about, I know for sure, with Greg Cosell this week, Jatavion Sanders from Texas.
He's a guy that's a receiver that plays tight end because his blocking is where his inconsistencies lie. But as a receiver, he's getting open. He understands where the sticks are, so he's going to run his route at the proper depth, catches the ball well with his hands, does a great job after the catch, so he's a very good catch and run type threat. I think he carries his weight well. He's, what, 252? But he doesn't move like a 252-pounder at 6'3". So for me, he gives you a little bit more of that flex receiver type as opposed to a guy that's a just, you know, rugged blocker. So he would be someone you could pair with the inline guy and get the best of both worlds.
So let's get into the next guy. Theo Johnson from Penn State was very heavily recruited. Penn State actually this year, Emery, had two tight ends that were legit. Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren was a high school quarterback. I loved his video. He's playing like in middle of nowhere, Virginia, just running dudes over. He is rugged. Theo Johnson is a Canadian kid, and his video was sweet. He's just catching fade balls. He was a receiver on the outside. I've met Theo. He's a big young man. It was maddening to me, Emery, especially in the Ohio State-Michigan games, that Penn State did not throw the ball to their tight ends more because their receivers, none of their receivers are NFL players. Yet they have two tight ends that are maybe day two picks that they wouldn't throw the ball to. Any Penn State fan, it's like pulling their hair out. It's probably why they have a new offensive coordinator now in Andy Kotelnicki from Kansas. He's going to throw the ball to the tight ends. But Theo Johnson didn't get that many chances, Emery.
Yeah, he should have because he's a legit one-on-one threat. And he showed that down at the Senior Bowl where he was consistently winning one-on-one, what he didn't showcase at Penn State, not because of his own skill set, because we just talked about the plays that were being called. So he's someone that can go and win out there on a perimeter one-on-one, kind of like Mike Gesicki, another former Penn Stater. So that's what you're getting. And it's funny because he's a CFL prospect, a top CFL prospect, but they don't use the tight end. So he'll be playing down in the States. He'll probably get drafted in the CFL draft just to hold his rights, but he's an NFL guy because of the position and also because of his skill set. Love the fact that he's a fluid athlete and got to showcase that receiver skill set down at the Senior Bowl.
Who are your sleepers? I always love your sleepers. Who are your tight end sleepers, Emery?
I feel like we talked about a lot of these guys, two of these guys, a lot on this podcast, but mention them again, why not? St. John's, the Johnnies, Division III program, fantastic program they got out there in Minnesota. Alex Larson, this dude is a flex tight end all day long. He can run routes like a receiver, had a really good college gridiron showcase. He can get vertical down the field. He wins at the top of the route, has a little bit of sauce on his routes as well. And I thought he performed well at the All-Star game because you got to show him against these top-level competition guys coming from the Division III level, albeit a dominant Division III program. You always want to see, can he match up athletically? And he can. Owen Glasgow, former Penn State guy, was just killing it at Long Island as an H-back. And this dude has 4 rushing touchdowns. Why? Because he's been their Wildcat quarterback too. So he could tote the rock. He could run routes like a receiver. He's good after the catch, and he dominates as a blocker. So he's someone that no one is talking about, and he had a great pro day recently. So when you check all those boxes from a testing standpoint, a versatility standpoint, he is someone that you want. Malik Bryant is another LIU tight end that had a really good All-Star game circuit. Someone should pick him up in camp. And J.J. McAfee from Georgia Southern. No one is talking about this guy. No one's brought this guy up because why? Because no one does work that we do, Ross. He is a former wide receiver turned tight end. So some teams may see him as a Marcus Colson type. Some may see him as a flex tight end, but he blocks well on the perimeter. He has a great set of hands, and he's always open. I'm shocked that he didn't get into an All-Star game or that no one is talking about him because he's a FBS guy, played at Georgia Southern. Really good size, 6'3", 240. When you talk about former receivers turning tight ends, you know the route running is where it needs to be. So he's definitely one that's a sleeper.
Love the fact that we got fullbacks as well because today, perfect timing, Emery, I had John Kuhn on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast today telling unbelievable stories how Richmond pulled his scholarship 2 days before signing day. I had never heard that before. Kuhn ran for 5,000 yards at Shippensburg. People have no idea how good those D2 guys are in the PSAC. To rush for 5,000 yards in the PSAC West, going against like Cal and IUP and some of those teams.
Slippery rock,
legit. Who do you got on the fullbacks, Emery?
Number one, Colson Yankoff of UCLA. You talk about versatile. Just came in as a quarterback. Played some tight, still learning the tight end position, but also played some fullback. I thought his college gridiron showcase performance was excellent. I was like, man, who the hell is this UCLA player? Because there's a bunch of gold helmets down there. I couldn't tell from where I was sitting if it was UCLA or Georgia Tech. Finally bought my binoculars there on day 2. It was like, okay, that's a UCLA guy. And was like watching this film, like, man, this dude, he's enthusiastic about his approach. He's a good athlete. And he's good with the ball in his hands, so he gives you some versatility. Number two, Aiden Robbins out of BYU. And the reason why, he's more, and I've done this a lot too, Ross, within the fullback rankings you'll see in the draft guide. You'll have fullback, then you'll have single back. Single back is someone that can be your 4-minute offense guy, can tote the rock a little bit. That's Aiden Robbins. He's 6'2", 237, ran for over 1,000 yards at UNLV, very good runner. Transferred to BYU and did really good there. He's a versatile player. He can block, he can catch, he can run, good vision, good footwork, gets in and out of his brace rather quickly. So he's someone, as you can see, as a bigger fullback, a blocking back, but a single back that can tote the rock. And this guy I've been on since he signed as a freshman out of Canada, Michael Chris Ike of Delaware State. He just recently tore up this weekend the CFL combine because he was born in Canada, played high school ball in Canada, 6'2". 225, ran the smoothest 4.5 you could see. He's a terrific athlete. Was so happy that he signed with Delaware State because he did a great job in cultivating that talent. And he was there as a fullback. But what I love about his projection to the NFL, not only is he a fullback / single back, but he is a core special teamer. You can see him just downing guys on kickoff coverage, also on punt coverage. And in addition to him running the football when he got the opportunity, he's more of a one-cut downhill guy, but he could do so many different things. He's going to get drafted in the CFL, but could also have a home at the NFL level or UFL level as a core special teamer. So those are my top 3 fullbacks.
We didn't get into the conversation about people changing their grades and their rankings a little bit that I wrote about for the 33rd team. So we'll do that next week, Emery. We'll make sure to make that a priority because there is no changing grades or rankings from Emery. You get the draft guide, and those are his grades. That's his evaluation. He doesn't change them. He can't. It's already printed. We'll talk about that next week. Other than that, the keg is kicked. O-line as well. The big guys. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.